It's on the recordings.
Okay.
Commissioner, I'm saying we need to be let in out in front of City Hall.
The other side's open.
We're at the court tomorrow.
We're at the court tomorrow, we're not at City Hall.
That would be not problem.
Liz?
Okay, I'm not getting a response from Commissioner tonight. Commissioner Barisi? Commissioner Irons? Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Sykes?
Here.
Commissioner Wenholz?
Here.
Commissioner Peterson?
Is that Liz Peterson?
No, it'd be Gus. The county commissioner.
Gus.
Oh, Gus Peterson, okay.
Commissioner Ekstrom? Commissioner Kilkenny? Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Thompson? Commissioner Cooley? Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Peterson? Elizabeth? Oh, Gus is here. Commissioner Henthorne? And Commissioner Iola?
Henthorne is online. He maybe didn't unmute quick enough.
Okay, thank you.
And Commissioner Iola.
Got it.
You good?
Yep.
All right, so welcome to everybody online and in person. So the purpose of the work session today is to present and take comments on a preliminary draft of the Boardman Transportation System that we call a TSP. The work session feedback will be instrumental in the preparation of the final draft TSP before the formal adoption process beginning in October 2025. The workshop this evening will be conducted as follows. We'll have the introduction of the planning official, Carl McClain. Then we'll have the introduction of the consulting team. We will have a presentation of the draft TSP, question and answers from the Planning Commission, City Council, and Board of Commissioners in attendance and online, and a public comment based on the limitations outlined on the agenda. So, if you wish to speak, please fill out a comment form and submit it to the City Clerk. I will recognize those people who wish to speak. Any questions should be addressed through me. Please state both your name and address for the record when you come to the podium as the workshop is being recorded. Please keep your comments concise and to the point. We'll make it, depending on how many people we'll have, we'll try to go with 5 minutes. So let's go. The purpose of this workshop is to ensure that the two planning commissions, our county board of commissioners, and the board of the city council all understand what the Boardman TSP is intending to accomplish and to outline the upcoming adoption process. The discussion tonight is a workshop and is not a public hearing. Public hearings will commence once a final draft TSP is complete and notice is provided to the Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development. While comment is being requested, it is not testimony to the record. The record will be established as part of the public hearing process. Staff report, planning official Carla McClain will now kick off this workshop.
Thank you, Mayor Kiefer. So I'm not going to say a whole lot other than also expressing my thanks for all of you being here. Hopefully through this process, we will address kind of the adoption process and the expectation of each of the bodies that are here. But if Matt Cugard is ready, I'm going to pass the conversation to him. The process that we're undertaking is a grant that was provided to the City of Boardman by through ODOT and the Department of Land Conservation and Development and the TGM grant. The consultant lead for that is Kittleson and Associates, and the subcontract for the development code components is MIG, which stands for three names, and I don't know what it is. So Matt, I will just pass it to you. It looks like you've shared your screen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just to confirm, people can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Kiefer, and I'm the principal planner here from Kittleson and Associates. As Carla mentioned, we're the private consultants that helping the city prepare the technical analysis into the transportation system plan. I'll recognize three people, two of which are online. The one that isn't here tonight is my colleague, Eva Gagelis. She had a large hand in preparing the draft before us this evening, so I wanted to give her some recognition. Unfortunately, she is on unemployment right now and couldn't be here. So, also recognize Shane Raver from MIG. She's on the line, and she is our sub-consultant, assisting us with a component of the PSD update that involves the development code and development ordinances that go into recognizing the new PSD. You'll hear from Shane later in the presentation. Also online is Devin Hearing from ODOT. Devin represents ODOT, and they are the grant project. He's a grant project manager. As Carla mentioned, or I don't know if she did mention this or not, but this project is funded by a grant from the TVM program, the Transportation Growth Management Program, which is jointly funded by ODOT and the LCD. So Devin's here. Wearing two hats today, he's the grant project manager in charge of making sure we do what we're supposed to be doing and making sure everyone's getting paid, and then he's also representing ODOT and ODOT in this evening. So I got a brief presentation, not a brief presentation, but a detailed presentation that goes into the content of the draft itself, so I'll just walk you through it. If and when you have questions as I'm going along, please feel free to interrupt me, and we'll take them as we go. So, kind of over to the agenda, I thought I'd just start off a little bit. I know the members of the Board of the Planning Commission and City Council have seen this slide before, so just bear with me. This is more for the benefit of our friends from Morrow County. The Transportation System Plan, if you're unfamiliar with that term, or TSP, is essentially just the long-range component of the city's comprehensive plan, focusing exclusively on transportation and transportation-related topics. The modern TSD is a multimodal TSD, so it deals more than just roadways and freight, but it deals with transit, deals with bicycle, pedestrian, and any mode of transportation that's kind of critical to the local jurisdiction. Portland's TSD was last updated in 2001, or last repaired formally and officially in 2001. It's had some minor updates, a handful of minor updates since that time, but it was time for a complete refresh of the TSD. So the city reached out to the TGM program, submitted
okay, for that, you know, for
yeah, for a grant, and then it was a little bit different. So a couple months later, the grant process transpired, and our team was selected to help lead the effort. Why are we updating it now? As I mentioned, the city was awarded a TGM grant. As you well know, living in the area, that Boardman and the surrounding areas experience pretty significant population growth. A lot of that is in residential, commercial, infill development. And then expansion of, continued long-term expansion of Port of Morrow and the industries that it serves. All this has led to, as you probably have experienced, some increased traffic demand on the system. So the TSD is finally to help address that. It also aligns with the city's goals for sort of evolving its transportation system over the next 20 years. And with that growth, it requires some fresh thinking. So a lot of the projects you'll see in the maps that I'll show here in a little bit are a reflection. So I think what I was just going to plan to do is just walk through the main components of the draft of the TSP. I believe everyone should have received a PDF copy of that draft. And most of what I'm going to show on the screen here this evening are the figures. But we can go ahead and pause and dive into the content of the TSP, which questions come up. But just for visual purposes, I'll stick to the figures for now, but we can go into the detail that we need. When we started this TSP update, we worked with city staff and members of the public and our advisory committee, and based on the feedback we received along the way, we kind of settled on kind of three main goals to support this TSP, focusing on the topics of improving the safety, of the roadway and the multimodal network in the city, improving the mobility of that network. In other words, how can we improve people's ability to get from one part of the city to the other more efficiently and quickly? We also focus on the goal of what we call accessibility and connectivity. So it's not just about how quickly we can get from one place to another, but it's how can we build a redundant system that allows for enhanced connectivity from one part of the city to the other. We also had a goal that focused on community. So we wanted to make sure that this plan was right-sized and appropriate and met the needs of all of the citizens of Orton. And so we had a lot of goals that tried to kind of hone in on that subject. I think sustainability was also a topic of discussion, making sure that what we plan for and what we build is mindful of impacts to not only the environment, but to properties and right-of-way acquisitions, to minimize that and do it in a way that also minimizes the impacts to the environment and sensitive areas. And then lastly, which I think is the goal for almost every TSP I've ever worked on, is just looking at it from more of a strategic investment standpoint. And we know a lot of communities, Boardman is not excluded from this list. We've developed the TSP as a project list that is many millions of dollars more than the city reasonably and likely has to fund itself over that 20-year period. So how can we identify priority projects that fit within the limited funds that the city is expected to have, and then when we don't have those funds, at least identifying ways in which the city can potentially increase its revenue opportunities over time to help close that gap. So those are the six goals. There's a number of objectives that I won't get into. But the PSP that we're going to be focused on this evening is kind of rooted in these six main goals. So I think one of the first chapters of the PSP is in the chapter that talks about guiding the transportation network. And this was the product of a map, and many hours and conversations were spent trying to rectify the ownership of the roads in Oregon itself. There's a lot of confusion as to who owns and operated and maintained certain roads. And so this is a product of that map, this map is a product of that effort. Most PSPs have some kind of a roadway jurisdiction map that kind of lays the foundation for who's responsible for what. So there's not a lot of importance in this map other than just making sure that we've clarified and cleaned up some discrepancies. One of those discrepancies I'll point out is actually who owns and operates some of these roads up here in the Port of Morrow. And we work closely with port officials and even got resolutions to the effect that adopted resolutions that state that Green Drive and Holman Boulevard are indeed the sole responsibility and ownership of the Port of Morrow. And so we got that at formal group on Sunday. The next map is a colorful map here, but it's what we call the roadway functional classification system. So it's basically, if you look at any transportation plan developed in the state of Oregon, almost every TSP has this map that shows how the roadway network is classified. The classification that we're focusing on here for the city is broken down into really five substantive classifications. You've got the freeway classification, which obviously includes and is limited to ID4 and ID4 on and off ramps. But then when you drill down into the city level, we have what we call arterials, which are the highest order arterials, highest order roadways in the city. They provide the greatest degree of access, not access, greatest degree of mobility through the city. And so they're, shown in this map is kind of limited to the obvious routes through town, such as Main Street, Columbia Avenue, Wilson Lane, and Kinsman Lane. Those are all recognized as not only of high importance local, but regional travel routes within and through the city. So they got the arterial designation. And one way to read this map is you'll see solid lines represents existing roads, and the dashed orange lines represents intended or proposed or planned roadway extensions. And then this map identifies the classification that would be given to that extension. So when you see an orange line, a solid orange line, that's an existing classified arterial road. A dashed orange line represents a planned extension of an existing or a future road or a new road, and the classification according to the color is how it would be classified after it's built. So beyond arterials, you'll have collectors and neighborhood collectors and then local streets. So this map outlines all of the existing and proposed functional classification that work for the city. Maybe it's a good time to pause. Any questions on the roadway jurisdiction or the functional classification map before we move on?
I've got one, Matt. This is Commissioner Peterson. It looks like the one of the proposed future arterials for Oregon Trail Boulevard. It looks to me like it's supposed to go all the way through, but where the urban growth boundary is, there's a blank. Is it intended to go all the way through? Could you explain that spot?
Yeah, great question. So legally in the state of Oregon, we're not allowed to plan for roadways outside of the city's urban growth boundary. So this is a recognition, and this is something we can discuss here this evening, but through our planning process, it was kind of determined that at some point in the future, maybe Carla can speak to this with a little bit more certainty, but the city, I think, in the long term is interested in expanding its UDB to incorporate this hole, I'll call it, on the south side of I-84 between Wilson Lane and Laurel Lane. And if and when that UDB expansion was to take place, we've set up the bounds, the other opposite ends of the boundary of that hole to accommodate what would likely and ideally be a logical extension of Oregon Trail Boulevard through that area if and when it were to ever be incorporated into the city's urban growth boundary into the city limits. Anything you want to add to that, Carl, or did I catch you?
No, I would just say that as a city of Boardman, we can plan inside our city limits and urban growth boundary and can't plan in the county. Matt is correct. We have been in conversations with an interested party, but no application has been submitted yet. So it's hard to speak to a lot of detail. But just from the city's planning perspective, it makes sense for us to figure out how Wilson and Lindsay both connect eventually one way or the other to Tower and Bonnie Range Road, to Main Street. And we're just trying to make the same kind of alignment happen with Oregon Trail to serve as a future arterial. And again, it would connect from Paul Smith Road, and again, as we see it, to Laurel Lane. And as a city, I mean, if we were planning for 50 years, we would look at that to extend further as we think the city will grow east and or west. Hopefully that answers your question.
It does.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this one? Okay, we'll move on. The next map is just a recognition that we have some industries in town that generate a lot of freight traffic. And we have some sort of think of recognition that those industries need to rely on the city's roadway network for part of the ability to serve that use. And so this is a map that was generated out of a couple of rounds of discussion with our committees. But it's a map that kind of shows what we break into freights, the truck freight system down into what we call the regional freight routes. So those would be those routes that you can logically expect there to be some regional freight accommodation. So it's I-84 and it's Columbia Boulevard, at least the portion of Columbia Boulevard that goes within through the Port of Morrow, and most ideally the portion that goes east outside of the Port of Morrow and the city limits. And then portions of Marine Drive, Oldman Road, Oldman Boulevard. Those are the regional freight routes. And then we also recognize there are local freight routes. So local freight routes would be businesses within the city of Boardman that are generating delivery but probably not generating major freight traffic on an hourly or daily basis. It's just the occasional local project or local truck deliveries for delivering goods and services to business. And so in between, one of the things that was recognized was the ports need to serve what we call the high volume heavy freight. So it's the big freight coming off of the barges on the river, and then the ability and the need to get that freight traffic, oversized freight traffic, back to the regional freight routes such as I-84. So the blue lines overlaid on the red and the yellows represent the port's current travel routes that they rely upon for getting some of that high wide and heavy freight traffic from their docks along the river and on and back to the regional freight route. So this is a map that just sort of recognizes that hierarchy of accommodating freight traffic. Doesn't mean that all freight traffic is going to be absolutely limited to these routes. It's just these are the routes that the city would then recognize as being routes that could accommodate and would need to be addressed when it comes to improvements over time and making sure that freight is not ignored or overlooked when improvements are made at some point in the future. So kind of beyond these three maps, the rest of these maps that we'll show here, these are the actual project maps. So within the packet that you received, all these maps have a table. And so the way that I interpret these maps, if you haven't figured that out yet, is all of the lines that you see on this map, the dashed lines, represent new roads or new intersection projects. And if they're dashed, that means they don't exist today, and we are planning for their eventual construction or development at some point. And whether that construction or development occurs as part of a capital, city capital-led project, or it's a product of condition on private development, the numbers on the map correspond to the description in the table. So project R1, for example, would be extension of Boardman Avenue at its current present terminus all the way over to Olson Grove and all the other projects that go with it. So those projects are identified in tabular form. They're also identified in map form. I don't know if we want to go through each and every one of these projects, probably not, but I'll point out a few that came up over the course of this project. You'll notice a big green square over the I-84 Main Street interchange. And then you'll also notice some more specific intersection-based locations at some of the intersections, including the I-84 ramp terminals, and then the intersections at Main Street and Boardman Avenue. One of the big findings that we found in the operations analysis that we did, the forecasting work, is a recognition that most of the residential growth and commercial growth in the city is on the south side of I-84. Whereas most of the freeway-oriented retail growth potential is spanning both the north and the south sides of I-84. And when you kind of forecast the traffic-related growth that could result from that potential development over a 20-year period, you start to see some capacity limitations associated with the existing I-84 Main Street interchange ramp terminals and the intersections adjacent to it. And it got to a point where the findings really did suggest that some major interchange improvements were needed and necessary at that interchange. Not only to the interchange itself, but to the on and off ramps and the overpass structure over I-84. And it got so detailed that it was felt that through some separate coordination with ODOT that the best approach for this TSP was to not itemize the specific levels of improvement for that interchange, but to identify a future planning study called an interchange area management plan, and identify the funds for the city to go back at some point in the near future and reinvestigate the best modifications for that interchange. Going into a certain level of detail that would not only identify what's the best form for that interchange, whether we continue with the diamond interchange form that we have today, or whether a modification of that interchange form is more appropriate given the change in long-term traffic demand that we're forecasting. And then, maybe more importantly, based on a lot of the feedback we've received from local businesses within the vicinity of that interchange, is to maybe reinvestigate, relook at how the city deals with the Main Street and North and South Front Street intersections. There was a planning study done back in 2009 that was adopted locally by the City of Orton called the Main Street Interchange Area Management Plan. And that IAMP, while it was a decent planning study at the time, I don't think it forecast the level of growth that Portland, or anticipated the level of growth that Portland has experienced over the last 15 years. And as a result, some of the findings within that IAMP are not very specific or appropriate based on kind of what we're projecting going forward. So this R25 project is essentially just money for the city to go back and reopen that IAMP and really dig into the specifics of how to improve that interchange and the on and off ramps and the adjacent intersections. So that's, I think, one of the big kind of more controversial projects that I would anticipate this body here this evening want to talk about. I think a lot of the other projects that you see on this map and the dashed lines represent what I would consider to be sort of logical extensions of the road network that the city has currently built for itself, recognizing that there are large swaths of the city, namely like this big corner down here, the southeast corner of Main Street and Wilson. It's, you know, there's nothing on the books right now, but I think the winds keep blowing the way they blow, way they are blowing. You know, it's reasonable to assume that some future development could occur on that site. So this plan recognizes that, it recognizes that potential and outlines continuation of the collector and arterial street grid to support that potential future development. If no development pressure happens, then that parcel continues to be farmed over time. But if it does, then the city has a plan, and the city engineers, the city planners have a plan in place to help guide the development in that area. Everything else on the map here, I think it's again just a recognition that there are some logical extensions that need to be built in over time, and it helps to create that grid and that redundant accessible street number that we wanted to see built through that goals and policies process that we're getting with PSD. So I will stop here. I imagine there will be questions from folks in the room, and my bad.
Anybody got any questions?
Why is there no additional off-ramps leading into Boardman? Considering the growth, we have one main way to get into town. That's it. And if you drive around the state, there's plenty of cities that do that. They have additional ones. They're close. They're nearby each other, and it doesn't seem to be a problem. But for some reason in Boardman, we're told that's a problem.
Yeah, good question. This is an anticipated question. You look at the standards that ODOT has set for itself when it comes to access to interstates. Can't remember the exact detail. I should have looked this up and been more better prepared for this particular comment, but there are some basic standards that ODOT adheres to when it comes to providing access to interstates. And I believe the, they don't quote me on this, but I believe it's 1.5 to 2 miles or more between major ramp access points. And if you just look at the limited frontage that Oregon has between Laurel Lane and Main Street, and the existing boundaries on either side of that, there just isn't enough room to fit in another freeway interchange access point and still adhere to the standards that provide in the Peter themselves can. So that's the simple answer. I'm sure it doesn't cover all the questions, but that's fundamentally that's where it's rooted.
So did Hood River get an exception to that? Because they got like three exits right next to each other.
Yeah, there are always exceptions, and I don't doubt that you'll find many if you look around the state. And those exceptions are typically granted, and there are hardships, or perhaps some of these things were built before the standards were adopted. I can't speak to any specifics with regards to the river, but my guess is some of those access points were established before the access spacing standards were set and adopted on the website. And or there were special exceptions granted for reasons that I wouldn't know about.
But it could be done.
You can get around that.
But it could be done.
I'm not saying it absolutely can't. I'm just saying fundamentally it would not adhere to the standards that were adopted before. And so we're kind of focusing ourselves on that stance.
But the conversations, I'll add a little bit to that, Matt. The conversations that we've had as part of the PAC process and then some of the follow-up that we've had with ODOT, the two current access points, exits, are a mile apart. That is already outside of the separation standards. So to do anything between them, the folks, again, that we've participated with in this process have been pretty clear. I mean, we've asked them about kind of extending the on-ramp from the Port of Morrow to just then become the off-ramp for the main street. And even having that conversation has been limited. We haven't gotten very far with that conversation. So it's not that we're not asking those questions. We're just not getting the kind of response we would like from ODOT, and they are relying on their standards.
I will add, even though we haven't focused a particular project on a map like this, that it looks at the possibility of a third interchange. We did include kind of two themes that I think might work in that direction. So it's kind of hard to see on the map here, but the R24 project is a project that's currently in your current TSP, and they carried it forward. We think it would have some validity. It's probably going to be a hard one to try and build, but it's a recognition that Olson Road can and should be extended either or over I-84. That wouldn't be a direct access to the freeway. It would just be an overpass connecting the north and the south side. So it's basically a third way to get north-south of the freeway. That is one project in here, and then I think it's understood that under the R25 revisiting of the old 2009 IAMP, that the interchange access form and function would be completely revisited as part of that. And that could involve and might mean some creative solutions that maybe nobody has thought about, such as connecting via a frontage road, perhaps the Laurel Lane interchange to the Main Street interchange, and perhaps using Front Street as some kind of a feeder road or a limited access kind of connection between those two interchanges. That is all within the realm of possibility under the R25, is to not only revisit, but rethink how the Main Street interchange can not only function as it's a main access to Main Street, but maybe function as a way to better serve the area in between the Laurel Lane and Main Street interchange. So those are all on the table. So, Deb, you had your hand up, and I started to talk over you. I apologize, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm right there with you, but anecdotally, this is an NHS roadway, I-84, so the national system, so the exception to the national system has downstream events across the country. So I think what you're seeing for exceptions to the minimum distances are maybe a lot of times off the interstate, but I agree that the ones you will find on the interstates are probably pre-existing access points and not newer access points. Again, what we do here affects the national system. Well, it's great for Boardman to be on the national system, but then on the other hand, the affects, you know, staff and the entire nation when they make these sort of decisions.
Anybody else have a question?
We scheduled an hour and a half, so please.
I think years ago we talked about, and I don't know that I can read those numbers and my print isn't any better, but essentially taking Kincaid and taking it all the way across an empty lot to Anderson Lane, that would require a purchase of a home that's sitting there, and that's been the conversation. But in the map, it has two new roads going north-south versus east-west. So I see the little connection that you make, but it's not a all the way through.
So I think I'll take that one, Matt. I think that there are a couple of factors. Do understand that as a TSP, this is guidance. We don't know what roads will be built because until we have a development proposal, we don't know what they're going to ask for. We know generally, and this is based on the downtown development plan, that we probably want a road that connects Oregon Trail Boulevard to Wilson through there. But again, depending on what they propose to develop, it's going to kind of drive what kind of traffic impacts there might be and how you would want to distribute that traffic, you know, north, south, east, or west. The downtown development plan actually envisions connections from all three streets, City Center Circle, Kincaid, and Willow Fork. But again, depending on development, we don't know what they're going to ask for. So until we see a development application on that 60 acres, it's kind of hard to know what that response is. We've not lost sight of that connection from that property to Anderson, but we're not specifically saying there has to be a connection. If it makes sense for there to be a connection based on the type of development, then we would encourage that. But until we know what that development might be, it might be better to not create that connection. So a lot can happen in the development process, and your TSP is not law, it's guidance. Matt, I don't know if you would answer that any differently or add to that.
Yeah, I guess I would say it should have a connection on there, and through feedback and other discussions. Most our advisory committee was removed, I think under the recognition that there's some sensitivity to this connection to Anderson. I guess if we put that sensitivity aside for a second, my recommendation would always be to show a connection on the plan, because if it's on the plan, you have to give yourself the ability to ask for it if the circumstances present themselves. If you don't have it on the plan, you're basically telling your development community, hey, there's no expectation for a connection here. You can't maybe build it. So you're going to put yourself probably in a situation where having to ask for it through the good graces of the development community when they don't have to build it because it's not recognized in the planning document, it's a much harder ask. So I guess that's my sort of big picture way of thinking about it. It's always better to show the connection on the plan because it's hard to get them back after you commit to not providing them, you know, there's no expectation from the development community that they have to be considered in the bill. So I'm not arguing against Carla. I'm just sort of pointing out the opposite way of thinking about it is if you can build it, you can't think past this, the political or the sensitive nature of the connection and the line on the map. It does give you the ultimate flexibility for constructing it, something like that, or having development construct it.
So wouldn't it be more prudent then to put all three of the roads across that lot? Willow Fork, Kincaid, and City Circle, City Center Drive?
So also applicable as kind of guidance, like the TSP as guidance, would be the downtown development plan. And they show all three of those connections there. So yes, we could reflect them both here, but they are also reflected in the downtown development plan.
So I see that big green box, and I know he was talking about the big green box. Now, this is a draft for our transportation plan. Does that happen to talk about Boardman Avenue and Main Street? Is that in this process as well?
So, yeah, good question. So the box is looking at what would be the likely study area for the interchange area of the plan. It's think of it as a gray box. It's not a hard line on the map. It's just recognizing that the study area needs to include at least Boardman Avenue to the north and Oregon Trail Boulevard to the south and kind of everything in between. That's what the box is roughly representing. But within that box, you'll see there are a number of intersections noted here. And the intersections were purposely left on based on the discussion we had with city staff and ODOT, under the assumption that there are probably some interim things that might need to be looked at and considered until such time that the IAMP is formally revisited under the R45 project. So yes, the Boardman Main Street intersection is identified there, and through our planning analysis, we have identified there will be some capacity situations that are starting to arise and will continue to persist over time as development continues to occur. And so the Boardman Main Street intersection was identified as an intersection that will need to be formally planned and improved. I think the recognition, though, is whatever that improvement looks like, and we've included some concepts for different intersection improvements within the IAMP, or within the PSP. It's not set in stone until the R25 project solidifies it. So right now, we've kind of identified a couple of different ways to treat that intersection, either through signalization or you get a little creative and start to look at some roundabout treatments that all would all work well there and better address the capacity issues. That being said, we also recognize that perhaps some of those intersection treatments would have some impacts to adjacent properties. May not be the most convenient intersection treatments for maintaining sort of the access to adjacent parcels. And that was not lost on us. We definitely understand there will be some impacts associated with these. But we're hoping through the R25 project that there's a better solidification of potential improvements at each of these intersections, and maybe a more higher level consensus can be reached within that defined planning effort to find the best solution for all involved.
Thank you.
I have a question. So it looks like it's a little bit fractured. Like Boardman, I'm assuming with the downtown planning, this is part of the thought, but is there any effort to make a town square or something maybe away from the interchange that would be a center of Boardman for to create this sense of community or festivals? Or I'm thinking about some of the other smaller towns in our family that like Hebner kind of has that town square that's the center of all the gatherings that kind of unifies the town. But I guess that's a challenge with the interstate. It just seems fractured, and is there any plan to do something like that for Boardman?
You want me to take that one, Matt? So you've heard me reference a document called the Downtown Development Plan a couple of times. That document was actually adopted in 2001, and its focus is primarily, and maybe Matt, you can help reflect this on the map there, it predominantly reflects activity on the other side, the hospital parcel, the 60-acre parcel, yeah, that one there. It basically reflects kind of how the city envisions that property developing. And that was owned by the Mon family for many decades and has recently been sold to Good Shepherd. We've shared with Good Shepherd that this plan is out there and that while it's not law, it is guidance, and we would hope that they would embrace it. I know they were seeking the firm to kind of master plan their property. We haven't had any recent conversations with them. Hope to circle back in the near term and kind of figure out what they're thinking and where they're going. But I think they're very cognizant that the community wants to have kind of a town center. The work that we're also doing to update our comprehensive plan and development code, we're in the middle of some community input gathering right now, and that process is helping us. The question that's being asked is, where is the heart of Boardman? And in no uncertain terms, the community is focusing on kind of that stretch of property from City Hall to the other side of Main Street, kind of looking at City Center Circle as being that location where the heart of Boardman can happen. So on the west side, it's kind of the government and services area. We've got City Hall, the Senior Center, Community Counseling Services, and then along Main, we have the grocery store and the bank, and I'm going to miss somebody, Napa. We've got a couple of the retail operations. What's exciting is what might happen on the other side of the street. And because of where the power lines are, we do know that the hospital was initially looking to site the medical facility as far north as possible. They moderated that because of the high voltage power lines and their desire to have lifelike. So we're hoping that they're looking at more of the center of the property. And if that is what plays out, then it really does give us the opportunity to work with them to extend City Center Circle and kind of create that opportunity for the heart of Boardman, as our comp plan consultants are kind of calling it. So that's our vision, Commissioner Finch. Hopefully that answers your question. Again, as with most communities, in some respects, we're a little reliant on what a developer may choose to do or not do. But we do think that they are invested in Boardman. They made a choice to come here. We've got a sense that they are invested and want to become truly a member of the community. And I think from that perspective, they're going to work. They'll work with us.
Yes, thank you. That's helpful. It's just, you know, I mean, I like that term, heart of Boardman, because I think it's much needed. Like it, and again, I think that's probably the challenge with the interstate going through there, but to create the town square, that place, it just, that bonding, I think it would really benefit the town quite a bit. Thank you for answering that.
They buy the whole lot.
I'm sorry.
Did they buy the whole thing?
They did. They bought all 60 plus acres. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can come back to this figure if needed. Let me just move on to a few other figures that we're going to do in conversations as we get into the different modes. So this map is just on the intersection of the roadway, but as I mentioned earlier, we also expand that planning effort to identify what's shown on this map, what we call the local street connectivity plan. And not every TSP has a plan like this, but because Boardman has so much infill and new development potential, more so than a lot of other cities in the state, it makes sense to create a map like this. And if you look at each of these little yellow arrows on this map, they're meant to really just show conceptual connections for the expansion of a local street network if an infill development occurs. And so, let me just pick on the area here. I'm picking on the south, east corner of Main Street and Wilson. Now, as you both know, this area down here is all being farmed, and there are no immediate plans to develop it at some point in the future. But the dash lines, the gray dash lines, represent those logical sort of neighborhood collector and collector streets that would be the spinal access points to this area. And then these yellow or orangish colored arrows represent what we expect or what the city can expect local developers to adhere to, or what they will hold developers to in terms of access. So in other words, if and when this little parcel in here develops, the expectation is all the access to this parcel will not be directly off of Wilson Lane or Main Street, but it will in turn look inward and connect off of these future neighborhood collectors, these east, west, and north, south collectors. And the benefit of having a map like this is it really establishes expectations from the development community about what the city wants them to build in terms of access and circulation. kind of takes the question off the table a little bit, and it helps to helps subsequent planning staff to remember, you know, kind of what is the best way to connect these neighborhoods to each other, and to recognize that we don't want to have a bunch of cul-de-sacs in the city. We want to make sure that we've established a great network, and we don't have dead-end streets because dead-end streets have been shown to limit connectivity. So the more grid type of network we can provide, the better off the city will be in terms of a long-term connected neighborhood network. So this is just a map that recognizes kind of what we expect or want to see local development adhere to when it comes to access in local streets within developed parcels. The next set of maps talks about the other modes, the multimodal transportation modes, the non-motorized. This is the pedestrian projects map, and it builds off of that roadway network map. So one way to read this map is it's only identifying projects where there aren't existing streets. If there are planned extensions of streets, such as these gray dash lines down here and the future extension of Morgan Trail Boulevard, it's built on the understanding that if and when the city builds those roads or development builds those roads, they will build them with pedestrian and sidewalk networks. So there's no point in calling out separate projects on unbuilt streets. So most of the solid lines and the dash lines that you see on this map are understanding that there are a handful or more of critical streets in the city today that don't have established pedestrian accommodations, and that there would need to be either through redevelopment of adjacent parcels or as part of capital extended capital funds on the city side to go back in and retrofit those streets to add sidewalks or intersection improvements and treatment by pedestrian crossing treatments to better serve existing and future development. So these are the pedestrian projects. A couple of critical ones that we have here is kind of looking at, I think for our friends at Borough County, we're looking at the Columbia River Heritage Trail. A lot of the pedestrian accommodation projects on here are a reflection and a recognition of some of that long-term planning work that the county has been working on for many years and decades. So the city's planned pedestrian network kind of builds on what the county has been working on in terms of establishing this vision for that heritage trail. So I'll pause for questions.